back together again. You and I chatting on Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023's version of Connecticut Today. We looked at the day-long moves that ended up finally ousting Congressman Kevin McCarthy of California as U.S. House Speaker. And Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio checked in with us for her weekly update.
Well, it never fails. It really never does. And I'm sitting here kind of laughing at the whole thing, but in retrospect, what did you expect? I have said this for years and years and years and years doing this program, and it upsets a lot of people that hear me say this, because we all have to be on the same team and everybody's got to be kumbaya if you're a Republican or if you're a conservative, and you know, you can't speak ill of somebody else. Well, I will say this again, because we're seeing it today. My friends, on the Republican side of the aisle, I am a registered Republican, but even if you're not, even if you are an independent voter, or you're somebody who says, hey, I don't want to belong to a party, but I tend to be kind of center-right, and I tend to side with Republicans here. I got to tell you, kids, nobody, no party, no legislative party, no branch of any legislative party on the face of the earth, particularly here in the U.S. on a national level, statewide, it's probably not that bad. But no party does circular firing squads like the Republican Party in D.C. They don't. And by comparison, and I'm talking about the push today that will likely, now the vote is not finished yet, but the vote that will likely oust Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. And in case you're wondering, in case you don't follow this stuff as much as I do and other hosts do and all that, the line of succession, should something happen to any president, is the vice president is first, Kamala Harris in this case. The Speaker of the House is second, at least as we speak right now. It may not be that way in a few minutes. But the number two in succession is Kevin McCarthy. The third person succeeding the president would be Patty Murray. She's the president pro tem of the Senate. And the fourth would be, and a lot of people don't know what it is beyond the fourth, it's the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. So Kevin McCarthy is the only Republican there, and he is being pushed out by a head case by a guy named Matt Gaetz from Florida. Now, what did Kevin McCarthy do? And let me backtrack here for a second. If you follow politics, you know where I'm going with this, but think about this for a minute. Whenever Democrats have a disagreement that tends to get testy and tends to make national headlines, what do you see? You see people rise up and yell at each other for about 2 days, maybe 2 or 3 days, and then it goes away. You see, as usual with her, Ilhan Omar will let loose with one of her anti-Semitic diatribes. AOC will say something stupid. Ayanna Pressley in Massachusetts will say something stupid. Some centrist Democrat will go back at them. And then, especially in the days of Nancy Pelosi, that went away. I mean, it was snuffed out. Bye-bye. Seriously. Oh, there's tension among the Democratic caucus. And then 2 days later, it's gone. Because the Democratic Party, as much as people that call this show and they laugh at Democrats. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Democrats and Joe Biden and, you know, Chuck Schumer. Ah, ha, 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 ha. And Dick Blumenthal and Chris Murphy. Guess what? They run a tight ship. You see them step out of line for about 5 minutes, and then after that, they get smacked right back in line. I'm sure they pull AOC and some of the nuts in their caucus and Presley and all these people and Elizabeth Warren. They say, that's nice. Come here. We have to talk to you. The door shuts, and they say, the leadership says, sit down and shut up. The Democrats run their party and their caucuses like a team. There's a lot of people on a team, but guess what? You got a head coach, you have an offensive coordinator, and you have a defensive coordinator. And in the end, and there's team input, we get it in film sessions and team meetings. Hey, coach, I think I have a better way to defend that. What if I played closer on the second receiver and we release the slot guy? Well, it's not too bad. But in the end, the head coach makes the decision. The head coach makes the decision. And then depending upon how the team handles things, the head coach and the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator formulate a game plan. And that's it. You don't see teams, winning teams, bad-mouthing their coaches. Maybe they do, and guess what? The team sucks or the player is gone. The front office says that's not it. But boy, I got to tell you, as much as you people call me every day and try and break chops on Blumenthal and on Murphy and Rosa DeLauro and Jim Himes and Johanna Hayes and all that, they run a tight ship. The Republicans, on the other hand, oh, the sin that Kevin McCarthy, oh, Matt Gaetz is running around in a tantrum, and it's Matt Gaetz. Let me see, who is this? Andy Biggs, he's another one. Bob Good, a third stunod there. And there's three others. So three members of the House Republican Caucus. And now the vote hasn't happened yet, but three members of the House Republican Caucus are about to eject Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. And what was his sin? Oh, dear God, he worked with Democrats. He worked with Democrats to not even a final budget, you idiots. It was a continuing resolution to keep the government functioning and getting a better deal. But this idiot, this moron, Matt Gaetz, oh, is he part of the Freedom Caucus, the House Freedom Caucus? We need to call them the House Idiot Caucus. Now, why do I say this? Because, of course, this is handing the Democrats, who have a president who can hardly speak most days, and there's a border mess going on that gets worse and worse every day. But again, as opposed to the Democrats, who know when to tell their caucus members, sit down and shut the up, Republicans will just burn it down. Now, we're going to have a speaker. Even after McCarthy is bounced, there's a list that is handed in to the House leaders by every speaker saying, hey, if something happens to me, if I get removed, if I'm killed, if I drop dead, these are the people I would like to be at least a temporary speaker. And my guess is it's probably going to be Steve Scalise from Louisiana. That's my guess. He's high on the list. But man, I got to tell you, and this happens, and our buddy, our pal Eric Erickson noted this on our national show at noon. This happens on the same day that a big new poll came out and gives the Republicans a huge edge on handling the economy among voters. But as usual, Republicans will screw it up because the Freedom Caucus. Here comes the Freedom Caucus. Like, they're the arbiters of freedom. And they're all bitching and moaning. Oh, Kevin McCarthy made a deal with the Democrats. Well, sometimes, kids, when you don't have the margin that you need in the House because you're putting up lousy candidates who lose, that's what you have to do. That's what a leader does. Now, does that mean that the rank and file have to agree with the leader on everything? No, of course not. I'm not saying they have to. But for the love of God, try and govern. Don't you think they're laughing in the White House right now? And don't you think somebody's going to ask the White House or Karine Jean-Pierre or John Kirby about this? You know what they're going to say? Republicans can't govern. Look at them. They're acting like children. They're not wrong. They're not wrong. So, again, let's keep watching this. Matt Gaetz has, and look, this is personal between Kevin McCarthy and Matt Gaetz. And Matt Gaetz is putting his personal ambitions up above anything. You know, there's conjecture that he wants to be elected governor of Florida. He wants to run for the White House in a few years. Good luck with that. But again, here you have one or two, something that never, ever happens on the Democratic side. The Democrats listen to the insurgents for about a day, and then you ever notice? They shut up. Grandma Pelosi dropped the hammer on a lot of people a few times. But apparently the Republicans, when they can see victory, there is that ring. Oh, no, let's blow the whole thing up and act like children. All right, we'll get back to open phones a little bit later on. And when we do, it'll be at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Every Tuesday in this slot, one of our regular contributors, Megan Portfolio, Yankee Institute. She blogs at the Hartford Portfolio. Check that out. Google it. Go to the Institute's website, and you'll find it. Megan, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, so much better. I missed you last week.
Oh, well, that's very nice. I was getting up a little early, but now we're back together, and it's all good. So on this day that we find out that there's even more video in the Bridgeport thing, now allegedly involving supporters of John Gomes, we have your piece today that looks back on the special session a few days ago. And what certain members of the General Assembly are saying, Megan, what they're not, and the whole specter of these ballot drop-off boxes. What are your thoughts on all this as we move ahead?
Well, it gets scarier than, believe it or not, actually scarier than it is now. A senator from Bridgeport, Karen Gaston, said during his debate, this is his quote, "I also dare to say that this issue that we're having right now that we see out of Bridgeport is not just happening in Bridgeport. It's happening across many of our towns and many of our municipalities," end quote.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, Megan, you've got leaders of Heron Gaston's own caucus, Bob Duff and Mart Looney, saying, hey, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. The vast majority of elections are fine. But even with that, to hear what Mr. Gaston said, I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting, don't you think?
And I was like, I had to rewind it. I'm like, did I just hear what he just said?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And what's scary is no one's saying anything about it. Like the session just went on. I mean, I'm going to cut him some slack because Lamont had called the session. So you have to kind of go by his rules and you can't just like introduce things.
Sure.
Like you kind of have to follow Lamont's agenda because otherwise God only knows what they're going to like every bill that didn't pass, they're going to throw at us. So I'm going to cut the General Assembly a little slack here. But we need to really look at this and we need answers. Like what municipalities, what are you talking about? Because the legislature actually passed in June a ballot initiative for the 2024 election that allows for a no-excuse absentee ballot.
Which is
in the voter's hands.
Yeah, which is essentially mail-in voting, right? Oh, I'm scared I'm going to get sick, so I just want to mail my ballot in. So we did this quick, Megan, without the time that other states took, sometimes years, to get this right.
We're at the point, like, let's just vote like 365, but in all seriousness, I mean, we need to look at these ballot boxes. Both the House and the Senate last week did put in amendments to get rid of them, or at least get rid of them in Bridgeport, or allow the election monitor to get rid of them. But the amendments got called for a vote in the Senate, but it got shot down, obviously across party lines. And then in the House, the representative actually pulled the amendment just because it wasn't on the agenda and it wasn't really germane with everything else that was going on. But we need to really start looking at some of these options before we just have like no excuse absentee voting. We've got mail-in voting. Like, what's next? The internet voting. I mean, it's just, let's just get our elections under control and get some confidence back, because you know how many of your listeners would say, like, why bother voting?
I mean, and that bothers me, because, Megan, I don't care whether you're a D or an R, blue or a red, Democrat or Republican, when people stop caring, and maybe that was reflected in some of the turnout numbers, Megan, but when you see those numbers down, that's not good. I mean, come on, not everybody's a crook. There are some really good people on both sides of the aisle, but, you know, that whole thing, one bad apple, right? We can't fall for that.
No, we can't fall for that. And they need to figure out what is going on before we move forward with this whole absentee ballot, no excuse thing. Like, let's just get the system down and get some confidence back so voters can be confident that my vote counts and it doesn't get, you know, killed by, you know, some cheater that's stuffing ballots into a ballot box. And this isn't a partisan issue, or Republican or Democrat. This is like an issue for the people. Like, we deserve to have open and honest elections.
And the thing, Megan Portfolio, that drives me crazy is that sometimes if you suggest, like you say, hey, let's look at this and let's make it, tighter, immediately you get the magic word, disenfranchisement. And Megan, it drives me up all four walls in my studio here when any little thing that makes sure that there's not, you know, bad things happening, including in Bridgeport and other cities, any little thing that we do is suddenly deemed as somehow sexist, racist, homophobic, misogynistic. I mean, it's maddening to me. I don't know about you, but it's maddening to me.
What's more disenfranchising, making sure we have clean, honest elections, or people voting and your vote not counting because someone just shoved 10 ballots into a ballot box and just erased your vote? I think that's a little more disenfranchising than making sure we have honest elections.
I'm hoping, Megan, that this just doesn't fade to black anymore, that this just isn't the kind of thing where, you know, we get beyond the municipal election, whomever wins in Bridgeport. Frankly, I don't care. I don't live here, but that allows me to look at it from, you know, the upper deck here and take a big view. But whether it's Mr. Gomes, or whether it's Mayor Ganim, or anybody else who may be on the ballot, my worry here, Megan, is that we'll get past it and it'll quietly just fade away, and no real changes, no security upgrades will be made.
That's a very fair statement. Certain representatives and senators have put in bills in the past to about these ballot boxes and just other things, penalties for voter fraud, and they don't even get called for a public hearing. Mm-hmm. They literally will submit the bill and it goes nowhere. Like, the chairs won't call like certain bills that could help fix this problem. It's like they kind of don't want to fix it.
Yeah, and the only thing, Megan, that and I tell my listeners, you know, you have to stay abreast of this stuff, and you have to make this important in your vote. And I kiddingly, Megan, all the time say, you know, okay, that state rep showed up at your kid's rubber chicken Little League dinner, or they got funding for a basketball court. Big deal. What's more important, those or election integrity? But apparently for a lot of people, the basketball court and the Little League dinner are more important.
And nothing should be more important than our elections. I mean, think about it. We elect these people to represent us so we can go about our day, and they're supposed to do what we want them to do. But if we get people in there that the masses don't vote for, there's a problem with that.
Megan Portfolio blogs at the Yankee Institute for the Hartford Portfolio. Look it up. Check it out. Go to yankeeinstitute.org. Megan, thanks as always. Good to speak with you. We'll chat next week. Thank you.
Have a good week, Paul.
Appreciate it. There you go. And, you know, so you had a member of the, Megan said she noticed during the debate, she was watching the video, I guess, and went back and looked at it again. A member of the Bridgeport delegation saying that this happens in other cities and towns, which, you know, it might. Listen. I am not for taking a blowtorch to election laws here in the state. I'm not. I'm just not. But even to increase penalties, well, you shouldn't have an automatic jail term, some people are saying, with election law violations. Why not? Well, you know, somebody could make a mistake. No. It is incumbent on the campaigns to tell their workers, keep your hands, and on both sides, I don't care whether this is Democrat or Republican, D or R, whether it's Bridgeport or Greenwich or New Haven or Madison or Hartford or Simsbury or West Hartford, black, white, rich, poor. No. There needs to be a crackdown on these laws, and there needs to be stiffening of these laws. To say on a guilty verdict or X amount of way that, you know, whatever was and could be proven, you go to jail. Doesn't have to be years and years. But we need, if we're really serious about this, if we are really, really, really serious about this, you have to have a scenario where the penalties are so egregious that anybody who's running for office, anybody who's campaigning, anybody who's running a campaign tells workers, do not touch an absentee ballot unless it's your own, or you are a caretaker of someone, or you are a blood relative of that one. Well, why can't we do that? Because we'll end up in jail, or there's a chance we could end up in jail. What's that old phrase? Fear is life's greatest motivator. How often do we do things or decide not to do things because this ain't going to be good with the wife, or the hubby, or mom, or dad, or girlfriend, or boyfriend, or domestic partner, whatever, or my boss? Or we do things in the polar opposite saying, man, this is going to put me in good standing here. So thanks to Megan once again, the Hartford Portfolio. You can find on a weekly basis at the yankeeinstitute.org.